NBA Australia. Welcome to NBA Australia, a brand new NBA podcast. It'll be your daily stop for all things NBA and your daily stop for some things to maybe do with Australia. Australia, it all works. Don't worry about it. We're talking daily breakdowns of the hottest of NBA storylines. Who's doing what? How they're doing it? Where they're doing it? And of course, who's better than Lonzo Ball today? Regardless, we'll be talking about what happened last night in the NBA. We'll be talking a bunch of smack about whatever takes our fancy. We're going to cover off some of what the Australian NBA players are up to and also have some fun special guests swinging by, like, I don't know, Matthew Dellavedova reviewing some stuff for us, Andrew Bogut taking us through his Twitter, and Ben Simmons talking about whatever the hell he wants to, because as our Lord and Savior, Ben Simmons can do whatever the hell he wants. I'm your host, James Clements. This is the first episode of NBA Australia. Let's go. All right. Welcome to NBA Australia. I'm your host, James Clements. We're hanging out. We're talking about NBA. And our inaugural episode, we're going to have like a slightly different approach to the podcast, because we're going to be taking the season as a whole as opposed to our usual daily approach. So we'd be usually lobbing into our daily whip around. Instead, we're just going to talk about the entire league and talk smack about each team. So it's the league-wide whip around. We're going to group them into five categories. How's that sound? That sounds easy, doesn't it? Contenders, pretenders, hopefuls, the making up the numbers also rans, and basket cases. That should cover off pretty much where every single NBA team sits, more or less, regardless. So let's talk contenders, shall we? Contenders, all right, so let's talk right off the bat. The first one isn't very hard, is it? They're currently sitting second in the Western Conference. They're 10-3. It's the Golden State Warriors, obviously. They're killing dudes. They killed Minnesota even without the coward Kevin Durant. You know, Golden State, I think they're going to be okay. There's like a little bit of a swoon at the start of the season, but they've figured it out. They're going to keep stomping dudes. That's how it goes. Next up on contenders, it is the team that is above them in the West. You don't often get to say that about Golden State, but the Houston Rockets are currently 11-3, and right off the bat, how about go to hell, Chris Paul? Like, the Rockets are smashing without him, right? Just watch him come back and screw this all up. He's going to be the old Carmelo Anthony to the Mike D'Antoni scheme, I reckon. Houston are playing the way they want to at the moment, and it's clearly playing to all their strengths. I'm not entirely sure how Chris Paul's going to fit into it. Sure, he's good, but at the same time, how's he fit? It's going to be fascinating to see what happens. Next up on the contenders, we have the team sitting at the top of the Eastern Conference, the Boston Celtics. Who knew that snapping the leg of your best player would end up being the litmus, the start, the driving force behind what would eventually turn into a 12-game winning streak? They lose their first two, and now they're 12-2. That's absolutely bananas. They're rookies. One half of the Double J's, Jason Tatum, and old mate Semi Ojeleye, and the giant white guy, Tice. They look pretty good, man. And damn, Brad Stevens can coach like he's a 1970s Ron Barassi turned loose on the NBA. Just watch him run through like a basket stanchion or something and really up the Barassi factor. But that dude is smart, and Boston are killing. And then finally in our contenders, they're always going to be there, because you can't ever not have them as a contender when you're talking about the NBA, basically. It's San Antonio, the Spurs. They're basically 8-5 without their best player. That's unbelievable. Pop is like a warlock, like some sort of weird CIA spook warlock. Never doubt the Spurs, even without Kawhi. I feel like they could start at like a strawberry Big M and a six-pack of VB at small forward and still get 55 wins and probably the two seed. And of course, considering this is NBA Australia, we're going to give a little bit of a look in there to our guy not having a great year. But man, Patty Mills is the best. So always going to be pulling for the Spurs. All right, pretenders. Where, look, do they have a puncher's chance at the title? Do they have a puncher's chance of getting through to the finals? Yes. But will they win? Probably not. So first off the bat, it's Cleveland. They stink. They stink. They're 6-7. That's gross. How did LeBron fall into the exact same trap as he did in Miami? He's all like, oh, wait. Yo, let me run this team and like, we'll be good. All these dudes got old. I need to go to a new team that's young. He did that twice. He did it in Miami. He's now done it in Cleveland. I've still not heard a vaguely good reason for them signing both Jose Calderon and Derrick Rose. And man, like even LeBron can't clean that losing stink off of old mate Jeff Heartbeat Green over there. They might still make the East Finals and they might even still beat Boston. But dude, their rotations and crappy chemistry. I don't know, man. Cleveland just sort of feel more fucked up than like my mate Scott from high school who smoked bongs every day in year 10 and became like the deli manager at Safeway. Like, you know, they're possibly fine on the outside, but underneath, you know, there's something a bit fucked up, huh? Aren't you, Scott? Anyway, there is another pretender hanging out in the East. The Washington Wizards. I'm just not feeling them. John Wall should be basically like an almost MVP at the moment, but they're struggling sort of to like keep their heads just above 500. They're 7-5 at the moment, but something's a little bit off. Can they just trade for Boogie already and just get me interested? And speaking of like weird sort of keeping their head above 500, Toronto are the next pretender. I mean, sure, they're shooting way more threes and passing a lot more than they have in years past, but basically you just need Toronto to beat the crap out of every other sort of East contender and the West contenders and then do the same thing in the playoffs, and then I'll actually be convinced that they're like they should actually be taken seriously as an NBA franchise. Until then, you Canadians are too nice. Next pretender, the LA Clippers. Whoa, jeez. I love Blake. He was my preseason pick for MVP. I just don't know if Doc is any good at coaching anymore. They've lost like 6 of their last 7. They were the last team to lose a game. And now they're 5-7. That's unbelievable. What are y'all doing, Clips? And one team who did the reverse of that is the Denver Nuggets. They're also a pretender. They're 8-5 at the moment. They're right up the top of the West. Jokic is awesome. He's dropping 41 points on the Nets. The rest of the team is just kind of, eh. Like Paul Millsap, sure. But man, I'd love this team way, way, way better if they got an Eric Bledsoe or something. Next up in the pretenders, we have Minnesota, also sitting around the top end of that Western Conference. They're 7-5. They've dropped a couple though. Their defense kind of sucks. And Tibbs is their coach. That seemingly doesn't make any goddamn sense. And then everyone's too quick to go, oh, but they're young though. They're really young. Get the fuck out of here. Boston are young as hell and have the best defense in the league. They only brought back 4 dudes from their entire team last year. I feel like something's just weird in Minnesota, right? And then our second last pretender, Portland. I love the Trailblazers, but I just wish they were slightly better, right? Like Dame and CJ and Nurk sort of form like a pretty cool core. But who else on this team is really like going to push you over the top? Like the villain, Mo Harkless? I just don't see their way to like really topping sort of anyone of like the Houston, Golden State, San Antonio, or even like the Nuggets at the moment. It's kind of weird. And then the final pretender. Ooh. They could almost slip down to the hopefuls. Actually, let's move them down to the hopefuls. These are the hopefuls, the teams who are hoping to do something this year and hoping for the future. And the first one off the rank is the Oklahoma City Thunder. Oh. They're 6-7. They've won their last 2. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. Thing is, there's just been some bad vibes coming on this team, and everyone's asking, oh, how's it not working? They've got 3 really good players. Oh, I don't know. Do they still have the same goddamn coach who can make anything work with both Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant? And then you're like, oh, Billy Donovan will definitely be able to sort out 3 good players. That's unbelievable. He's the worst. It's going to be crazy when Rusty stabs Paul George for missing another three-pointer, like in the last minute of the game, though, won't it? Like, Paul George can only hit those in Gatorade commercials. And I don't know, man. They're not shooting actual Gatorade commercials in the middle of actual NBA games that I know of yet. Next up on the hopefuls, Detroit. They're just hoping that they don't fall off. They're hoping that Anthony Tolliver turning into John Sally from Eddie, which is probably my favorite story of the NBA season so far, isn't like a mirage. And speaking of mirages, Orlando. They're also one of the hopefuls. They're hoping that this isn't all a mirage. Some sort of weird magical kingdom mirage, I guess. Kind of does feel like it though, right? With your old mate Aaron Gordon out there shooting above 50% from three. It's a bit weird. Orlando are just hoping that it all sticks together. Next up, Memphis. They're just hoping to make it to the playoffs. Because, sure, they're hoping that Chandler Parsons' leg just doesn't fall off. Miami, similar sort of position as Memphis. They're kind of just hoping to make the playoffs. Like, we sit here and we tickle Pat Riley's ball, like old droopy man balls, like a little bit too much. They paid a shit ton for a bunch of role players around Dragic and Whiteside. And, like, I don't know, what are they hoping that Dion Waiters pops as opposed to, like, Dion Waiters popping people's knees? It's weird. Maybe it's like just having a group of like really good contracts so you can swing a trade for like another dude, but I don't know who it's going to be. And next up on the hopefuls, they're just hoping that Eric Bledsoe doesn't suck and that he fits in. It's the Milwaukee Bucks. They're also hoping, I guess, that Giannis doesn't leave in like 3 years' time. Because Bledsoe being added to this team, you got to hope that Jason Kidd's an okay coach and can get him, Giannis, Middleton, and eventually Jabari Parker like all sort of working together. It's going to be weird. But I'm pulling for the Bucks because of, you know, this NBA Straya connection. They've got the thong song, Thon McCur. I love him. Dude's just out there dropping threes like an ain't no thing. And of course, my spirit animal, Matthew Dellavedova. Hashtag free Dally. Next up on the hopefuls, it's the New York Knickerbockers of New York City. And really, a lot of that just comes down to New York fans really just going, oh man, oh please. They're hoping that the Extreme Zinger Meal stays healthy and can actually maybe drag them to like the 8 seed or something. And of course, last, the hopefuls, the perennial hopefuls, the Philadelphia 76ers. They're hoping Joel Embiid stays healthy and the Ben Simmons, who might actually be the greatest basketball player ever lived at this point, also stays healthy. Man, it'd be fun to see if Philly make the playoffs. Anyway, the also-rans, the making up the numbers crew. Brooklyn, they're jacking threes, losing a bunch, but also winning here and there. At least they're kind of fun. Charlotte, there's no fun because, man, fuck Dwight Howard. The Lakers, they just make up numbers when we're not all talking about Lonzo Ball for some dumb reason. Oy, way to get pinched. D'Angelo, D'Amello, whichever one. Making up the numbers, and Utah would have definitely been into possibly one of the hopefuls, but man, losing Rudy Gobert hurts. Ricky Rubio's fun. Donovan Mitchell's rad fun, but they're like 27th in points per possession, and they just lost their entire defensive anchor. I'm not sure how that's going to go. And then, probably the most fun of the also-rans, the making up the numbers crew, because they're creeping up and maybe, just maybe, becoming a hopeful and a playoff hopeful. It's the New Orleans Pelicans. Boogie's out there, like, shredding dudes and dropping threes, and Anthony Davis is basically a basketball pterodactyl, and the problem is the rest of the team stinks. So the Pelicans, you know, maybe on the cusp of hopeful. And finally, it's the basket cases in this NBA Australia whip around. It is Atlanta. Just think about it. Who's the best player in this team? Is it German Rondo? Is it Taurine Red Bull Prince? Is it the goddamn rookie, John Collins? I don't know. Mike Budenholzer is sort of sitting there going, what have I done? Why are we like the worst team in the NBA? They're 2-11. This team won 60 games like 2.5 years ago. Next up in the basket cases, man, poor Dirk Nowitzki. The Dallas Mavericks. Dirk deserves better. Like, he has to spend like his basketball twilight playing with Harrison Barnes and like watching Harrison Barnes jack up horrible jumpers. I mean, Dirk will probably be fine when he retires and like Cuban throws him a big chunk of the Mavs and like a private island and like a private plane somewhere and whatever. But for now, it's just sad. Speaking of sad, Indiana. Like, they've been a nice, pleasant surprise. They're 6-8. But, I don't know. When you're like relying on Victor Oladipo, it's going to be a brutal season. They just need just tank this one year. Like, Victor is very young. The Souvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis, he's young. Miles Turner is young. Just tank this one year, you morons. Jeez. But of course, when you do tank, it doesn't all work out. And that's where our next basket case comes in. That's Phoenix. Jesus. Like watching a high school team. Especially considering Devin Booker looks like he should still be in high school. The flip side of Phoenix is also, it's just in terms of absolute basket case ability, it's Sacramento. Like, they tried to do like a slightly different thing to Phoenix and bring in some vets, but instead they've got like Zach Randolph jacking shots. And man, that Sacramento stink got under George Hill's skin real quick. Someone bleach his hair and like reminded me how to play basketball again. And then finally, of the basket cases, the last one. These guys just, you just can't watch them. It's the Chicago Bulls. Oh, they're just sad, man. They're like punching each other in the face. Their best player is their rookie. They're going to spend the rest of the season convincing themselves that Zach LaVine is good. It's not good, man. It's not any good. All right, and that is the whip around. That's a league-wide whip around for the first episode of NBA Australia. We'll be doing that daily with results and everything, and it'll be really fun so we can quickly look at everything that you want to know day in, day out about the NBA. And that's cool. It's now time for our next segment. That is a knife. The winner for this, if we were doing it daily, would probably be, I don't know, Aaron Baines for like being a walking cement wall and stepping in when Al Horford was out the other night. But for this first episode, we're talking about the two men-sized men who brought a croc-killing Bowie knife to a flick night fight on the main streets of New York City, well, the main subways of New York City. It's the Greek Freak, and of course, Supercharged Zinger Burger. The Supercharged Zinger Burger. Greek is leading the league in scoring and basically lifting up the Milwaukee Bucks to unseen heights. He's pretty much like in every highlight and every SportsCenter package you've ever seen. And of course, on the other side, Extreme Zinger Meal. The Extreme Zinger Meal. He's second in scoring. He's got the Knicks actually looking like an actual basketball team. And most importantly, he's made New Yorkers believe they believe in love again. He's like a Latvian love, actually. And it's almost Christmas. His name is Chris Stapps. It's basically Christmas. That's awesome. Man, New Yorkers got it, like, are just stoked about this guy, too. I mean, he looks like an absolute Burke, but they're unreal. And so there you go. So the NBA Australia approved performance of the year so far goes to Greek and the
Extreme Zinger Meal.
Extreme Zinger Meal. You have won our inaugural.
Nice. That's a knife.
That is a knife. That was a knife. Good job, Greek. Good job, Zinger. Okay, and now moving on to the award-winning segment, Better Than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average.
Oh, man, he wishes he was average at the moment, huh? That is tough for Lonzo. So he drops a triple-double. Everyone feels good about that. And it's like, all right, cool. Lonzo, he's not that much of a train wreck. It's amazing how much a triple-double can change the perception of a player. And the crazy part is Lonzo did that in a loss to Milwaukee. He played 39 minutes. He had 19, 13, and 11. Went 3 of 5 from 3. But of course, our usual daily look into who was better than Lonzo Ball last night turns into a season-wide better than Lonzo Ball. And the thing is, with that triple-double included, it's everybody. No player in NBA history has ever finished a season shooting below 30% from the floor, less than 25% from three and less than 55% for three throws. Lonzo is dangerously close. He's shooting 31%, 25% from three, and 50% from the free throw line. That is brutal. I mean, the counting stats are there. Well, kind of. He's 9.7 points, 7.4 assists, and 6.8 rebounds. Oy, his little brother's getting pinched, but damn. Give me Dennis Smith Jr. Give me Frankie Smokes. Give me Donovan Mitchell any day over Lonzo Ball at the moment. He might come good, but until then, he's got nothing. And that is who is better than Lonzo Ball. It's everybody. All right, coming up next, we're going to have Yeah Nah. We're going to have Look at Me, Look at Me, the popular opinion of the day, the unpopular opinion of the day, and the Luke Longley Memorial, right time, right place, who's that guy, up next. All right, NBA Australia, pummeling along. And are you ready? Are you ready? Because it's time for... Oh, Yeah Nah! It's Yeah Nah! We've got three Yeah Nahs where we talk three NBA storylines, get a Yeah Nah, figure out if it's more Yeah, more Nah. So, off the top, Orlando, are they actually this awesome? Yeah Nah! Yeah? With a question mark, that's a conditional Yeah, because they're good, but I don't know how good. We have to, like, the same thing will go for the next Yeah Nah, so let's move straight onto it. Detroit, are they for real? Yeah Nah. Oh, Yeah Nah. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. It's a Nah for being the second best team in the East. It's hard to believe the hype, but both they and Orlando are actually looking way better than anyone expected. I mean, that sort of morass at the top of the East between Boston, Detroit, Orlando, Washington, Toronto, and eventually you'd expect Milwaukee. It's like looking super interesting for like, you know, just the season-long arm wrestle throughout the East. It's going to be fascinating. But then that leaves our third Yeah Nah. Are the Cleveland Cavaliers broken? Yeah Nah. Yeah. I kind of think they are. Like, there's no chemistry. They just kind of suck. They're 6-7. LeBron has to score 57 points for them to win. And we're all sitting here going, nah, they'll be fine. I don't know. Will they? It's tough, man. That's very tough. I'm not entirely sure why LeBron thought that bringing Dwayne Wade in, his old buddy, would work out, or that Jeff Green should be on a basketball team at the moment, or that Jose Calderon shouldn't just be off smoking ham somewhere. It's tough, man. It's tough. All right, we're going to move on to our unpopular opinion of the day with a very, 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 very fun segment called...
Now look at me, please. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me.
Was Phil Jackson onto something? Oh, I mean, every New Yorker hates Phil Jackson now. He did try to maybe trade Kristaps Porzingis, but he did draft Kristaps. He did draft Frankie Smokes, and the New York Knickerbockers are 7-5 and actually in the playoff hunt at the moment. I mean, it's probably all going to fall off, but still, I don't know. But no, of course he wasn't. That moron was trying to ruin the Knicks left, right, and center, and they're only 7-5 this year because Zinger has been unshackled from the goddamn stupid-ass Phil Jackson dumb motherfucker triangle shit that Phil kept shoving down everyone's throats. That's crazy. Anyway, so see you, Phil. Enjoy Montana. All right. One of my favorite segments that we have planned for NBA Australia will be the Luke Longley Memorial Right Time, Right Place. Who's that guy? Where it's some dude who's hanging out with an all-time legend. And this episode's Luke Longley Memorial. Who's that guy playing next to an all-time legend? Right place, right time, right place. Who's that guy? Is Zaza. Zaza, you big Georgian galoot. He's out there shredding with Steph and the coward Kevin Durant. And he's a threat to win more than a couple of rings. It's unbelievable that Zaza will end up with far more rings in his career than like Charles Barkley, Karl Malone, and probably even Dirk combined, right? They went, ugh. It's crazy, but This is what the Luke Longley Memorial Right Time, Right Place, Who's That Guy Award is always about. Good job, Zaza. I'm proud of you. All right, coming up next, we've got the Australian Player Watch and a whole bunch of other fun stuff, including Where in the World, the Patty Mills Inspiration Board, and a couple of other things coming up right now. All right, so this is where we'd usually be doing our NBA Australian Player Watch, where we'll be sort of whipping around and checking out what the Australian players did last night. Instead, because this is the first episode, we're going to look around the league and just sort of cover off everybody. And of course, first game off the rank is the burgeoning superstar, the guy averaging more points than Jimmy Butler, more rebounds than Marc Gasol, and more assists than that little dork Steph Curry, Ben Simmons. Oh boy, does he look good. I love it. It makes watching Philadelphia so much easier. Because even though Joel Embiid is sitting out there like doing crazy fun stuff, Ben Simmons just looks like a man already. I love how he's playing. Just he's like a triple-double threat every night. And for all the ball tickling that Lonzo Ball got for his triple-double in a loss, Ben Simmons is out there doing the same thing. And when they actually play on Wednesday, it'll be the first time I think that two rookies who have already notched their first triple-doubles of the year will go against each other, and it'll be the earliest that's ever happened. So that'll be pretty cool. The coolest part is he can't shoot, and he's still shooting 50% from the field, putting up 18 points, no problems, 10 rebounds, no problems, and then like 8 assists, no problems. His turnovers aren't even that bad. It's awesome. Good job, Ben Simmons. Next one on the NBA Australia Player Watch. Oh, it's my boy. It's Patty Mills. It's tough for Patty, though. He's having a rough year. It's only, you know, tick under 8 points a game, under 3.5 assists. Not shooting a red-hot percentage on threes, around 33% on 4 attempts a game. Him as a starter versus off the bench, though, has like provided like a little bit of a interesting statistical kind of breakdown where he's shooting like 17% better from 3 as a starter, shooting from like about 10 to 12% better from the field as a starter. His points per game drop off by about 4 a game as a starter versus being on the bench. And look, I'm not going to second guess Pop and tell him to start Patty Mills. But hey, Pop, I don't know, maybe start Patty Mills. Next up, it's Ugly Joe Ingles. Jingling Joe Ingles. Hey, did you know that of players who are 6'8 and above, who have a 57 true shooting percent, well, above a 57 true shooting percentage, a 15 plus assist percentage, and a 2 plus steal percentage for their careers? The list goes Magic Johnson, LeBron James, and Ugly Joe Ingles. That's the entire goddamn list. He's the glue keeping Utah together at the moment. He's shooting better from three than he is from the field. I'm loving Joe Ingles, and especially Rudy Gobert out. Like, it's going to be fascinating to see how Joe sort of helps Utah pull it together and see just how much their entire defense is going to drop off. Favors stepping in to basically be the center with Rudy out. It's going to be very, very, very strange. The cool thing is I'll be able to report from the front lines when Utah play the Nets this Friday. And I'll be there checking it out and yelling Australian stuff at Joe Ingles. Next up, we move over to the Milwaukee Bucks. And there he is, old mate Matthew Dellavedova. He's having a tough year, an absolutely tough year. It just got tougher. Milwaukee traded for Eric Bledsoe, gave up, Greg Monroe, a conditional first-round pick, and a second-round pick. Problem is, for Dally, it knocks him down the depth chart. And already up until this point, he was only averaging around 20 minutes a game anyway. It's tough. He's bringing that hard-nosed defense. He's only shooting 33% from three. And you just can't imagine that he's the amount of opportunities that are going to come up Dally's way are probably going to crater. So there we go. That's what it turns into. Hashtag free Dally. Free our boy. Let's get into another team that actually needs a backup point guard and actually, you know, could use some handy minutes from Dally. And then Dally's teammate, the Thong Song, Thon McCur. Now this dude, I'm loving Thon. I love watching him. He's almost doubled his minutes per game. The best part is he's shooting over 37% from three. when he starts, it just really fits quite nicely. Like, he spreads the floor for Giannis, provides a little bit of a, you know, big body rebounding and rim protection. And I've got a lot of time for the Thong Song, a lot of time. And he's only going to get better. Like, his counting stats aren't much, but you just love the way he looks. He looks much more fluid. Considering the dude isn't like a, you know, basketball kid from like way back, the way he's learning the game is pretty impressive. Next up on our NBA Australian watch, it's Aaron Baines. Oh, that giant pineapple-headed cement truck of a man. I love him. He had an amazing game the other night. But he just fits so well in Boston. Much better than he ever did in Detroit. His strengths just fit perfectly what the Celtics need from their either their guy who's starting next to Al Horford or coming off the bench as their main big dude. So between Baines and Tice, I really do feel like the versatility that that the president and the coach of the Boston Celtics, he's got Baines there to basically to rebound, just be a big body, set some screens, and Baines is delivering. He's fitting in really nice next to Horford. He's even throwing a couple of jump shots here and there. He's shooting over 50% from the field, so good on you, Baines. Looking good. Also getting some shout-outs from Patty Mills on Twitter. And I'm not sure if you noticed either, but in the Celtics-Lakers game last year, there was a bit of Aussie-on-Aussie violence for like just a split second. When Andrew Bogut, next up on our Australian whip-around. That's right, Andrew Bogut's on the Lakers. I'm not sure if you remember that. Do you remember that? It'd be hard to miss because he's barely playing, you know, 6-7 minutes a game here and there. No stats to speak of. Just, you know, recovering from that broken leg he got in his first 30 seconds playing for Cleveland at the end of last year. There you go, Bogut. Just leaves him more time to fuck around on Twitter, I guess. And our daily question will be, yo, is Dante Exum still hurt? And unfortunately, the answer is always likely to be, oh yeah, I guess. But he's got to be part of the Australian player watch just because. I love Dante Exum. The final part of the Australian Player Watch, though, is the Australian-born and bred Kyrie Irving. How's he doing? Well, apart from getting his face broke, he's putting up not bad numbers, leading Boston to 12 games, to a 12-game winning streak, putting up just under 23 points a game, almost 6 assists per game, and he looks amazing. His game's expanding. I mean, you can see why he left Cleveland. He's like, all right, man. Coach me up, Brad. And that's what's happening. Kyrie looks unbelievable. And, all right, so the final part of the Australian Player Watch will ideally be Kiwi Corner with Stephen Adams. But we'll have Stephen pop in during the week and just to catch up with him for our Antipodean brothers. But we also have the NBA Straya, the weekly Where in the World, where we look at a former Australian NBA player or draftee and just check out where they are. And we're going to start off with where in the world is Baby Shaq, Nathan Jawai. And it turns out Nathan Jawai is busy hanging out in Cairns, recovering from a busted leg. Get better soon, big fella. We're thinking of you. All right, coming up next, it's the Patty Mills Inspiration Board, and we'll be wrapping up the first episode of NBA Straya. All right, the Patty Mills Inspiration Board. Patty Mills, he's an inspiring kind of dude. We're actually just going to quickly dip into his Twitter, because when Patty Mills isn't, like, donating books, his game day books, he's literally tweeting, game day baller, game day. And so he has responded to, what Aussie team were you most impressed with on the weekend? Patty Mills says, Australian women, hard to top a double century. That's away, Australian women's cricket. And of course, Patty Mills, game day baller, game day, hashtag go Spurs go, is the staple of the Patty Mills inspiration board. Love you, Patty. And guess what? That's it for NBA Australia for today. We will be back daily with more of this ridiculousness. And more NBA Australianness, I guess. We're going to whip around day in, day out, check stuff out, talk stuff, maybe come up with some fun stuff that you might actually enjoy. Maybe. I don't know. Hopefully. And in the meantime, like, chuck us a follow on Twitter. Like us on Facebook over at NBA Australia. All that sort of easy social media stuff. But the thing is, just subscribe to this on iTunes, would you? Chuck us a nice 5-star rating and review while you're at it. That way you'll get this steaming hot pile of ridiculousness every day in your Apple Podcasts app, formerly known as, iTunes or whatever the hell it was. But it's the podcast app, NBA Australia. Check it out. Subscribe. Go on. And that's it. We're going to finish up with Matthew Dellavedova swinging by to review Stranger Things Season 2. And in the meantime, I'm James Clements. Get a dog up ya. Been NBA Australia. We'll catch you tomorrow. Stick around for Delhi. Oh, oi, 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 how are yous? It's old mate Delhi. And seeing like I'm the resident pop culture legend here at NBA Australia, I get to swing by and talk to yous about the new Stranger Things, eh? How good's that? On ya, NBA Australia. Now, yous guys are alright. Alright, so like, Stranger Things, like, it's like that show about those kids from the 80s. Like, yous remember that, right? So, like, the new one came out the other day, and like, old mate Delhi here was like, alright, new Stranger Things, sick! Then I was like, oh yeah, nah. We're gonna play some games, eh? Cause like, see, we'd won a bunch of games and like, now mate, Greek, he was like going metal and everything was awesome. And then Stranger Things came out and old mate Delhi over here was like, oh rad, I'll watch them. But you know, I'm gonna play some basketball first and then like we traded for Eric Bledsoe. So your old mate Delhi over here was, it was a bit easy for me to binge watch it. So look, I have. I've just gone out and binge watched it. It was pretty good. And I don't know, mate. Like, it was one of those Stranger Things, like, where they make a bit of a trade and old mate Delhi gets a bit of time. So, like, one of those proper Stranger Things, I guess. Kind of like the time in high school, me and my best mate Plugger went to, like, go to the Maribara High School Year 8 dance. But when we got there, like, old Mr. Falkers wouldn't even let us in because we'd have, like, maybe just a couple of, like, West Coast coolers. And, like, we're off our heads a little bit and he's all like, not tonight, boys. You can't come in. And we're like smashed. We're like, all right, Falkers, no worries, mate. And then like Plugger and I went and trashed the library and like Plugger took a dump on Falkers' desk, mate. That was funny as shit. Well, anyway, so like Stranger Things Season 2, right? Like you got these kids running around and it's like they're like Ghostbusters and shit. Pretty good. Like you got Winona and that Hobbit fella and like the hot chick Nancy and like that weird kid Jono. And then there's like Steve with the slick hair or whatever. But my favorite character is probably that new guy, Billy. He like plays basketball just like old mate Delhi over here. He even looks like me a bit, eh? I reckon. Nah, I'm just joshing ya. Don't worry, Delhi's got a bit of basketball left in him. I'm not gonna go straight to TV just yet. Don't worry about it. Righto, so like that kid who can use the forces in it as well, 11. And like the old guy like is kind of like a new dad or whatever. He's in it too. But my favorite part was probably the guy from Mad About You's in it. I'll tell you, Delhi loved Mad About You. Like, it wasn't probably as good as Friends, but it was really good. Okay, so, like, Stranger Things Season 2 is a pretty solid season, I reckon. Like, I binged it in between our games and, like, on our flights and everything. And, like, it was basically to make sure that I got a break from my little buddy Thon over there. Like, he's always bugging me to buy him beers and shit. He's a silly little bugger, but I love him. All right, what do you reckon? Stranger Things Season 2, I'll say it gets 9 out of 10 Delhi ones. It's pretty fun, but like, as a kid who grew up in the 90s, like, it was no real difference to like what we did in Maribara. Like, the only difference was like, you know, I never had a Ghostbusters costume, and like, my brother never drove a sick car and like listened to Scorpions. Like, all we had was a Tirana and AC/DC. Which, I mean, look, I reckon that'd make a pretty fully sick Stranger Things, I reckon. Alright, anyway, that's it for this week. I'll talk to you next week. This has been Delhi's Review. Catch you later! Delhi!